to get sponsored. I want to get sponsored by them just so I can get free products.
See, I don't even care about free energy drinks. I just want the free, like, water bottles and stuff. I just want all the extra. Hey, welcome back to the JK Moto Podcast, your favorite motorcycle podcast and a podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and
great entertainment,
which really do it all. And this week we are brought to you once again by JK Moto Entertainment, your one-stop shop for all your track day club racing questions and answers. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Facebook at JK Moto Entertainment, and subscribe on YouTube. If you're here on YouTube with us, welcome. We appreciate you being here. Stick around. It'll be a great time. Click the button, the subscribe button. Ding, 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 ding. Also, tell your friends. More about the YouTube channel. As we announced last week, this podcast will slowly be dissolving itself into the nothingness and coming back for guest features. And on that note, I say we just end it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's over.
Yeah, that's it. I haven't talked about the sprint weekend at all, not the GP weekend.
Yep, it's done. It'll be fine.
You know what's funny? When I have to work on the weekends and I have to pick which race I watch, I find myself watching more MotoGP now just because I can get the races in faster. I don't have to sit down and watch 2 hours of F1.
The weekend ended.
Yeah. That's so now good. I'm just looking at highlight reels of F1.
We'll slowly just get rid of it completely.
Ah, to say all of that.
On a more positive note, there's a radiator sitting right back behind me. I don't know if you can see it or not. It's real shiny and aluminum, and it should be going in this bike here soon so that we can get the troubleshooting done and get this thing back on the road. And also behind you, that you can't see at all, maybe if you turn around in your living room or wherever you are.
You got to give them a clip of it, just like one freeze frame.
Yeah, just we'll pull that up. Behind you is a 2005 Yamaha R6 that used to look a lot more nerdy.
Yeah, is this the model that Josh really likes, or is it the year after this?
That one's
the this one with the wasp eye.
Yeah.
I do love that one, too.
Yeah, that one is just, classic 05 R6 doing its thing.
Hey, still an inline four doing inline four things, and man, do I already. It's been like 5 minutes, and I already missed my inline four.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It does look weird without a front fender, though. I just have to say that.
Yeah, we'll get one.
It needs one. Real bad. I might order one during this podcast. We'll see.
Oh, I just realized those flush turn signals are aftermarket because I just got those from R7.
Yeah, it's yeah. Anyway.
I might accidentally cop this one. Accidentally.
We're here to talk about MotoGP in Malaysia round 20.
Man, no, we said 18 last time, so 19. Oh, man, we're bad at this. We were good for a while. Now we're back to being bad.
Because there's only two rounds left. It was round 20.
How are you playing the numbers, though? I still can't figure that out.
It's on the freaking racing?
Oh, you go to a different menu.
Yeah. 20, Malaysia.
There we go. Portugal and Valencia.
Portugal and Valencia are next, followed by the Valencia test. So, round 20 MotoGP in Malaysia. We had a
interesting weekend, I would say. Good Saturday, good Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, it was almost just like, I'm just watching MotoGP this weekend. There was nothing too crazy, but it was, like, so randomized on the grid with what we saw and where we saw him.
It must be so freeing to know, like, you don't have to worry about how Marc Marquez does because he's not there. You're just watching MotoGP, not to see who can finish second place the fastest.
Yeah.
Or Bezzecchi. Which is wild because Mark's gone now. Bezzecchi's performance is this weekend at least?
Just this weekend.
Just this weekend?
Just this weekend.
Yeah, because Mark first left. Bezzecchi was holding it down.
We'll get into that. Before we get into all that, we're going to roll an intro. And right before the intro, I do have to say, this may or may not be real long, and if you don't want to watch it all, I understand. Click the link down in the description on YouTube. That'll take you to our RSS feed where you can find us on any podcast platform, be it Yamaha Podcasts, Aprilia Podcasts, Suzuki Podcasts, Ducati Podcasts. I don't know. Whatever podcast platforms are out there that you use to listen, we're on them. Stick around for the intro, and we'll see you after the break.
My first track day, I got the pictures back, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. On the ground at 100 miles an hour.
And we are back.
Let's go.
We're back. In Stable B. Guess who's back?
Back again?
No, that's too far. That's over the copyright boundary. We can't go that far.
Okay.
Can't go that far. Oh, all man, right, dude, what a...
Bagnaia. Bagnaia's back, apparently.
Bagnaia
for a little bit.
Back?
Guest feature, I guess.
Back. Was quoted to have the best start in MotoGP this weekend, at least in Malaysia, ever.
He did, like, that was a good start.
Yeah, so, interesting stuff here. We got a knockout fantasy in a second, but I'm going to just kind of give a brief, like, overview of the grid. And the sprint and the race were actually, like, quite... different?
Yeah, very different.
Ish. Because on Saturday in the sprint, we had, you know, all Ducatis up front. Bez was just screaming up toward the top and didn't qualify too well.
It was almost a really good weekend. It was almost a really good Saturday for Gresini up until Alligator got hit with that tire infraction.
Right. That's why he's not in third on here. Yep. Because that bumped him down to seventh.
He was battling. He was moving up the pack.
Yeah, absolutely, right? But, yeah, and then Bagnaia is finally back on top. Move into Sunday, and now we have a Ducati KTM Honda?
Yeah, it was also weird because Alligator was nowhere near the front before he tucked it.
No, and he just tucked it in. You know, Alligator has done so well this season that I have forgotten that he's a rookie.
I know. Which is, like... That's praise to him. All credit to him.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Because the other rookie I really like them to follow is Ayagura, and he's just been doing what you would expect for a rookie to do, just average performance, not dead last, average performance, some really good battles, especially toward the beginning of the season. Even now, you'll see good battles in the where he's at in the grid. Mm-hmm. And Aldeguer has felt like he started in the middle and has been slowly like making little splashes up near the front. Yeah. And his last couple rounds, he's been... more consistently up there, but then when he's not up there, he's not up there.
Very true. Yeah, when he isn't performing, he is gone. And maybe that's saved a little bit by Alex being so good.
I will say this, even when he's not performing the best, he's still higher than the other rookies on the grid. He's still higher than Chandra, he's still higher than Ayagura.
Sure.
So from a pure rookie standpoint, he's doing really well.
It's higher than a random dude on a satellite Honda. Wow.
Or a satellite Aprilia.
That one's a little less. So let's get some fantasy knocked out. So we can kind of dive into it without having to.
I'll let you pull it up. I'm getting sad. I keep looking at how far back I am in the grid. There's no saving me now. And I blew my trades, and Mark Marquez is still locked in. I can't change it.
Oh man. That's good.
I'll pull up leagues.
Want. Yeah. So our weekly point winner is actually a tie.
I'm seeing 67.93 and 67.08.
You're looking at averages.
Oh.
Let's look at last GP.
GP. Ooh, 65.
Yeah. So.
That's looking like Shifty and, was that Lover's Rider?
Lover's Riders from Spain. Yep, Shifty and Lover's Riders from Spain holding down first and third in our championship, and you guys won the weekly point lead at 165. Followed very close by Shakimoto at 155. And everyone needs to keep in mind, if Shakimoto is still playing, Shakimoto also still has a boost hanging out.
One boost, last round, winner take all.
Yeah.
Down to the wire.
Well, that'd be a good one, too. Yeah, whoever wins the most points in the last round actually just takes it all, takes the whole thing. Anyway, so that's fantasy. Not going to dive into that too much. You guys both can reach out on Facebook and or Instagram, send us a DM. Get your weekly point-winning prize. We are coming up towards the end. We only got two rounds left. We'll be done before you know it. Bagnaia. I think that's where I want to start. And then we had to talk about Bez. We got to talk about Mir. And Acosta, probably.
All right, we can start with Bagnaia. So last week or the week before, I just should have said Bagnaia this year sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I still stand by that. That being said, he did win the sprint, and he was on pace to win the race. Second place.
Take second place. Yeah.
Take second.
Alex passed
Maybe second place. Acosta was on him
for a while,
although he did blow a corner coming in a little hot and going a little wide.
Right before like his bike issue, they were saying he was having front tire issues. Front tire was gone. He was starting to...
They were saying it's because he picked that medium front and everybody picked the soft front.
Yeah.
But then it'll, like, you think that everybody else will start having front end issues first, but no.
Yeah, well, that's all based off temperature. That's true. If it's, like, real, real, real hot, sometimes those higher, at least as far as what I understand, if it's super hot, you want a lower compound in the, like, stiffness. So you want to run a soft on a hot day, I think.
Yeah, but my logic is if it's hot, wouldn't it wear faster, especially if it's a softer compound?
Yeah, but if it's colder and you have a harder compound, then you get cold tearing. Colder with a soft compound. The soft compound isn't hard enough to not cold tear.
Interesting. Way more tire stuff.
Yeah. With my head. Like, I don't know. The exact what compound you want for what temperature always throws me off a little bit.
Look, my tires still have Sipes. All right. My own. Yeah. That's more than I'm good.
But, yeah. So, Bagnaia...
It was good. It was really good.
No, yeah.
And he had a comfortable gap, too. He looked on great. Saturday.
He looked how he should have looked all year.
Most of the season.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we're assuming some bike issue happened.
Yeah, that broke my heart. I wanted him to, as much as I like to hate on Bagnaia because it's funny, I don't actually hate on him. I know he's a good rider. You're not a two-time world champion and a bad rider. That being said, his lack of performance the last couple weekends kind of was a self-fulfilling meme.
Interesting. Not a two-time world champion and a bad rider, he says. All right. Okay.
Well, compared to some of the other riders on the grid.
No, I don't really disagree with you. It's hard to sit here and argue that Bagnaia is a bad rider. I do think that Bagnaia is a little bit of a... when it comes to riding, I'm going to call him a riding prick, which...
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
Order pizza after this.
But I'm going to use the word riding prick, and I'm going to... I don't know if prick is the right word, but... I feel like he is one that has to have everything exactly...
All his ducks have to be in a row, and if they're not in a row, I can't perform.
Which is why I used to call him the robot.
You think that this season, because there's been so much focus on Mark, that no, because he would have his side of the garage that caters to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all him.
Yeah.
His performance has sucked, though, these last couple weekends. Like, bad.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, last week the commentators had the audacity...
To compare him to a Moto 2.
Yeah, that I was offended. And bro, I was like,
yeah,
he was doing bad and I'm offended for him.
I can't imagine. Imagine like being his dad at home watching on TV or something. And you hear that, you're like, oh.
Yeah, put some like, what championships have you won? Put some respect on that man's name.
Yeah.
But, I did feel like that was a little bit too far.
But he showed up this weekend. He made it straight to Q2, I believe. I'm going to assume so.
Well, you started the front of the grid.
No, he made it. He was in Q1. I wasn't able to watch. So it looks like in practice he finished in 12th. Yeah, so he wasn't in the top 10. So he was only in 12th for practice. Made it through Q1 in second and then ended up qualifying on the top in Q2. And then we get to the sprint and he brought home a win with a 2.5 second gap. And yeah, there was no doubt about that the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think despite the bike problem, as we just talked about Sunday, he probably...
It's like a good chunk of the race was like Acosta, Aldeguer, and like the places behind. Alex was pretty close up until he wasn't when that gap was installed, but there was some battling behind Pecco, and that was pretty good.
Yep.
Acosta would have got that P4, but Aldeguer had the tire infraction, like we said before. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm so tired of seeing like people on the podium, and it's like, last lap, tire pressure under investigation. Then it's like, not like this. Then you look at the results, and they're nowhere to be found. You're like, I guess it's stuck.
Yeah. It's rough, too, because they don't get the investigation part done before the celebration and everything.
It looked like, I don't know, the podium celebration, it looked like it was two of them, not the three of them. And I wasn't sure if like I just caught a weird angle as I was fast-forwarding through, or if they just told them, don't go up there.
It could have been. And maybe they held them, but like, I don't know. Can you imagine, you know, you're packing up the trailer, or you're on the plane in the hotel, you get a text message from your team lead, and he's like, hey, by the way, we took third. And we're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, for Acosta?
Yeah.
I felt so bad for Grassini because they had another double podium, and it's like, not really.
So Grassini, though, on that news, with Alex's, second place on Sunday or a Saturday in first place on Sunday.
Yeah, weren't they saying he locked it up, that P2, for the championship?
On Saturday, yep. He did lock up P2 for the championship. And on Sunday, Grassini locked up the best
not Lenovo Ducati.
No, best non-factory team, period. Best satellite team of 2025. So.
Well, that makes sense. Mr. P2 held it down all year.
Yeah.
Except for that weird little middle time where he didn't really hold anything down.
Yeah, the only, like...
I'd say middle, but it was really like two-thirds.
Argument, I think, against them would have been VR46. Would have been the only chance.
That's true.
And it's only because there could have been times where both of the VR bikes were in front of
Belvedere. Both Morbidelli and DG, like, together.
But I don't think it was often enough. And Aldeguer won a race this year.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, obviously it wasn't often enough.
He won the race and he had a P2 that mm-hmm. weekend. And he would have had... this last podium, if it was not for the podium on Saturday, if it was not for the tire fraction once again.
Yep. So, Grassini, doing great. As far as I know, I think they're both staying there next year.
That's a decent package. It'll give Fermin Aldeguer more time on the bike, second-year mm-hmm. rookie. We'll see if he starts putting out a Costa result soon. Speaking of Costa, I want him to get a win so bad. He keeps getting seconds and thirds, P2s and P3s. I know he had the talent for the win. I just want him to get the win, if that makes any sense. Because you'll see him hunting down people. Absolutely willing to send it.
No, 100%. I think he's got the talent. I think he's lacking the bike. And I was having a thought earlier today, because we're sitting out here talking about how great Acosta is, and I agree. We're talking about how bad Bastianini is. Maybe that's only me.
I think a couple weeks ago, I no longer.
Finally fell into it. Yeah. But then I started thinking about Brad Binder and how bad he was doing. Realistically, like, we haven't seen or heard anything about Brad Binder all year, pretty much.
I know I've said it before. I think Acosta's being held back with the bike just because Binder was never in the conversation this year, despite previous years. Mm-hmm. Bastianini, you could say he's getting used to the bike, or he just doesn't match his riding style this year, hasn't gotten used to it. You've heard nothing about them all year. You've only ever heard about Maverick Vinales before he got injured.
Yep.
And Pedro Acosta.
Yep.
And on average, that was it.
Yep.
That was the KTMs. And now you don't have Vinales. You have, was that Poles or Aleix Espargaró?
It's Pole.
Pole?
For him, yeah.
Aleix is with Honda? Okay. I saw him on the TV and I was like, whoop, whoop.
Yep, there he is.
Like I said, I'd love to see Acosta on a Ducati. Just give him, like... And I don't mean, like, put him on Ducati for one round of testing. I mean, like, give this man, like, 6 months.
Well, I'm starting to wonder...
What does that season look like?
I'm starting to wonder if the KTM wasn't bad last year also.
Maybe.
Because, like, 2 years ago, KTM was up there battling with...
Binder, right?
Yeah. Binder was holding down fourth in the championship for a while. They were up there in the battle. They were in the works. They were with Ducati. They were ready. And it was like, it was basically a question of who would go further between Aprilia and KTM. And KTM had the better bike.
They do
That's where they got rated with that top speed. That
they
was
still
when
have
Binder
great top speed,
that.
And they still have great launches.
Yeah.
It's just somewhere in the whole package, the other riders have not been able to extract it out of them. And I'm not sure if the other things are, like, detracting from their ability. So there's more stuff than just straight line speed and good starts.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do just kind of wonder... You know, last year they didn't make much forward progress, and then top that with the financial issues. If they just came back with basically nothing this year, and Acosta is just the only one that can't ride it.
When the 25 is the 24 with extra steps?
Yeah.
And the extra steps are no extra steps at all?
Yeah, and that's actually just the 23 with some extra steps.
The extra steps are actually just new sponsors.
Yeah.
On the livery.
Yeah, well, and more, we put a different wing on the back, because that doesn't do anything. So. Yeah.
Don't look too closely, though.
I don't know. I'm hoping KTM can figure their stuff out.
Man, DG was 10th place in the sprint, but Morbidelli was 4th.
Yep.
Normally they're closer to each other. Huh.
Yeah, what's going to be really interesting next year from the Ducati side of the house is what changes get made for the GP26, or the Decima Sedici GP26, and what all the satellite teams do with the 25.
True. I think VR46 will have it figured out, because they already got DG
yeah
and Morbidelli on the 24 and 25. So they already have be able to compare the 24 to the 25, and then when they get the 25 actual, and it's the 25 and I possibly the 26 maybe, and whatever the agreement still stands, I think they'll be able to be more successful than possibly, like, with that aspect than, like, Grassini, because Grassini will just get two 25s. So they'll have two bikes to compare.
So here's the hard part with what I'm about to say is the fact that you never truly know, because once, you know, once the team gets the bike, they can do whatever they want with it.
True.
Kind of. To a degree. And I don't know what those rules are. I have no idea what that actually looks like on the inside of MotoGP and, you know, what a satellite team is allowed to do with the factory bike and blah, blah, blah.
If what they decide to do undoes what could be bad or what could be good about it.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're smart. They're smart people. They have to be.
Yeah. But so, what I'm curious about is, you know, we talked earlier in the season multiple times about the fact that DG is on a 25. And he hasn't complained about it. He hasn't had the best performances.
And that is why I've said that before. That's why I don't credit most of Bastianini's complaints. Because it's not just Mark doing well on it. You have a satellite team also doing significantly better. DG has done significantly better than the last chunk of the season than Bagnaia has.
Yeah.
And post Bagnaia being on the podium for the first several rounds of the season, DG's done objectively better than him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean
once Bagnaia fell off, DG was consistently better than him. Because when Bagnaia fell off, he fell off hard. Like top 10 maybe.
Yeah, if he was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. But that is why I'll be looking forward to next year to kind of see, like, okay, was it Bagnaia or was it the bike? Right. I think we'll get even more info on that front, seeing how Grassini and Morbidelli do with it. But let's see, I was looking at someone's contract. Who was it? I wanted Grassini. Alex Marquez and Fermin Aldeguer. Yeah. Yeah, and Aldeguer has end of 2026 with an option for two further years. So essentially, Grassini has already told him, like, we'll keep you around.
He's got heart, man.
Yeah, I would assume that he'd be trying to move up.
It's so cool to see, like, new talent, like, developing in real time. Like, you watch their first year, you watch some people, and then, like, you watch the next year, and they do a little better or not. And it's, like, 3 years in, you're like, hey, I remember that guy.
Yep.
And then you watch the old guys, like, fade out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the old guys fade out. We need some more of that. But I need more young guys that come in and they're hungry and they want it. Yeah. And they can do it. And yeah, I think we need Acosta on a Ducati.
Dude, can you imagine Acosta on like a VR46 or a Grassini?
Yeah, it'd be insane.
Not even factory, just one of the satellite teams.
Well, especially
like an Aprilia, like a factory Aprilia team.
Especially if it had been this year. On the GP24, that would have been
no one's fighting. Like, since Maverick's been out, no one's been fighting for podiums in the KTM garage.
Yep, it's been, I don't know, it's been tough. Speaking of, though, you just said Aprilia. Speaking of Aprilia's, Bez, where was Bez?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
So, that you say that.
I will say this, though. When I say he wasn't there, I mean, like, on podium and podium, like, fighting for the podium. But when they would clip to him, He was doing work. He was doing work back there. He was no slouch
in the back positions. Let's keep in mind that Bezzecchi qualified in, 14th. 14th this man qualified.
Yeah, he finished P11 in the race. What did he get in the sprint?
Sixth.
Yeah, he got that dog at him.
He was cooking in the sprint.
He got that dog at him.
Cooking in the sprint. Came up, got 4 points, and actually, if I remember right, if we pop over to standings, he's still holding down third.
You know what's funny? Lost it to Bagnaia after the sprint, but because Bagnaia effectively DNF'd the race, he got it back.
He took it back.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Aw. Yeah. I don't want to like that, but that's what happened.
Yeah. He did, in fact, take it back. And Bagnaia, Bagnaia better watch out, because, we've been talking about Acosta.
Do we know what happened to Bagnaia during that race?
I have zero info on that. Actually, I have info on that. Michelin confirmed puncture for Bagnaia.
That's unfortunate.
Yep, he had a puncture in his rear wheel. So, there you go. That is a little rough, because he was doing well, too. And, I don't know.
It's a big feels bad. It's like when Juan Mir would be racing, And then somebody would crash into him and he'd crash out, and you would see the fact that he crashed again, but it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Or like, you know, Saturday this weekend when Juan Mir would be racing and he would crash out.
But he said he crashed out from P4 and he was absolutely pushing it.
No, I'll give you credit there.
If he crashed out from P4 more often, I wouldn't even like hold it against him, because he was racing. It's when he's crashing out from like not even top 10. It's like, bro, what are you? Just bring the bike home.
Yeah, when you're dead last. And yeah, just like,
you're already bringing home
something. Well, no one fell down the grid, so I was probably Mir.
Yeah.
And you can just like, move on about
if
your
you're
day.
Not in the points. If you crash, just bring the bike home, dude.
Yeah.
Crash out from P4. That's different. You're like, you're fighting for more points.
I agree, and I think the other thing is he did back it up on Sunday.
He did, you know,
by bringing it back and putting it on the podium. So I'll give him credit there. And also on Saturday, Luca Marini finally put the bike down.
I did see that. Yeah.
So I felt a little bit less bad for Mir that weekend.
Yeah, factory Honda, HRC Honda put the bike down.
Yeah.
It was like that one weekend where like both Aprilias, factory Aprilia, it was like Jorge Martin went out and Bezzecchi went out.
Bez and Jorge both like took each other out.
Yeah. The Aprilias were Aprilia seeking missiles.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at that. Race results. DG, Morbidelli, P6 and P4. Like consistently both of them up there.
They
Aldeguer.
They're like the unspoken in the top 10 somewhere.
Yeah.
It are the two yellow bikes. And like, yeah, we're just kind of used to it. They hang out.
It's funny because sometimes they'll be separated and they'll show you a clip of people racing and they're in there, and then show you a different clip of people racing. And you're like, I just saw this group. Like, wait, no, you didn't. That's a different yellow bike.
Yeah, it's the
That's
other
a
one.
Different factory Honda. That's a different blue bike.
Yeah, and a different KTM back there.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The first one was Acosta. The second one is Binder. The first one was like Luca Marini. The other one was Mir. Well, that's Quartararo. This is Rins in that group.
I did laugh out loud when Mir wrecked, mostly because he was doing so well and everything looked great. And
I just sighed. I was like, I wanted it for him so bad.
Well, and I had seen on Instagram a post from Honda or from MotoGP that was like, this is the celebration when you get a podium. Imagine when that first win finally comes around. I was like, oh, man, got a podium. Heck yeah. And then I'm watching the sprint. You know, after the time that it actually happened, and there it goes.
Yep.
The standard. Juan Mir crashed, cracked me up. But then on Sunday,
kept it up.
He was able to keep it up, bring home a podium. P2.
You know what's crazy? He'd have been top five if he didn't crash that just because of the tire penalty that Aldeguer had, which is like a wild statement.
The only thing that bugged me about his podium on Sunday, so I was watching the race, and he wasn't on podium, but I had known, right? I saw the Instagram post. I'm like, well, he crashed Saturday, so he has to podium in this. And I was like, who's going to wreck out? And so when Bagnaia took it, or got the puncture, I was like, oh, there it is. It was just, yep. And it kind of...
Hey, we take those.
No, absolutely. It's part of racing. Like, there are... Whether the guy in front of you wrecked out or not, that's it. But it is nicer, and I imagine it's nicer on the home front too when you go get it. It's not just given to you by the guy in front.
Yeah.
So
because we've seen it. I've seen Cordaro's bike mess up. I've seen Marquez. I've seen both Marquez's bikes mess up. I've seen Bagnaia's bike mess up. I've seen KTMs just lose chains all weekend.
Yeah.
I've seen the Yamaha. Yeah. I've seen like the Yamaha problems. Like it happens.
It does.
Or the 46 just Morbidelli just hits the Morbidelli real quick. Did you see that Morbidelli when he checked Quartararo?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
Yeah, I did see that one. Man, I don't know.
I brought his name up and I just remembered. I was like, hey, stop that.
Yeah. It was like a pretty just. It was a MotoGP weekend. You know, we had a pretty good. Not the same people necessarily on. Saturday is Sunday, couple wrecks on Saturday, couple wrecks on Sunday.
You know the crowd loved it because beginning of the race, every time Acosta did a pass or was passed, you heard the crowd go. Oh. And it didn't matter who did the passing. It just, a pass happened.
Yeah, they were pumped.
I love that.
That's good times.
I want to go to Austin next. Was it Austin? No, Coda. I want to go to Coda next year.
Which is in Austin.
Yeah,
Coda's a ton of fun.
April
or March. Let's see, 2026 MotoGP calendar. Oh, you can already buy tickets. That's kind of weird. Thailand in February. Interesting. Then Brazil.
Our friends in Guam are trying to find an excuse to go to Singapore or Thailand for a race or something, or just other extracurricular activities because they're so close to that stuff out there.
Oh, there you go. February.
Well, a lot closer than the East Coast anyway.
Yeah. Thailand, Brazil, and then Circuit of the Americas in March 27th through the 29th. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's Malaysia. It was MotoGP. Mark Marquez is gone. He's already got first place in the championship. Alex secured second place in the championship.
Yeah.
We'll see who secures third. My official prediction, Bez over Bagnaia.
I want Bez over Bagnaia, but they're so close. It's only 5 points. So if Bagnaia pulls out what he did this weekend and Bez pulls out what he did this weekend, it'll be Bagnaia. But if Bezeki pulls out what he's been doing most of the season, it'll be Bez.
Should throw
But Bagnaia has such a lead because the beginning of the season when he's fighting for podiums and top fives, he got such a good buffer because Bez wasn't not up there for those fights. Bez turned on at midway through the season.
That's what's crazy when you think about it. Bagnaia had some I'm finishing third place every weekend.
Yeah.
For what felt like almost the whole first.
He was at P3 almost as long as Alex was Mr. P2.
Yeah.
Not quite as long because he started falling behind. But in the beginning, he was doing good. And then look, you got Morbidelli and DG 226 and 227. That's crazy.
It is wild. They're wild. Up
there. Which is if you combine their points haul, that's more of a points haul than Acosta has brought KTM. That's more of a points haul than Bagnaia has brought Ducati. Marquez is holding Ducati down. And that's more of a points haul than Bezzecchi has brought Aprilia because the second rider, Jorge Martin, has not been really there. And neither is, was it Luca Salvatore?
Yeah.
Because he's a test rider effectively. Mm-hmm. And then Marquez, same thing for almost the same thing for Alex, but Aldeguer's been doing some stuff. So them, if it wasn't for Alex doing so good, and then Aldeguer just getting enough points, it would not have been Gresini. It very easily could have been VR46 for that non-factory satellite team.
Yeah, which I couldn't be mad about that.
Oh, I'm not mad at all. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want to see DG get more podiums because I want to see more DG interviews.
I do want to see more DG interviews. I'm hoping. I'm very...
Nothing against Morbidelli. If I see him up there, that's cool too, but I'm looking for DG.
Morbidelli had his chance. He kind of lost it.
Uh-oh. I feel like he's doing more than he did as Jorge Martin's second wheel, this season at least.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he was bad as a rider when he was second fiddle to Jorge Martin. He did all right, but...
I think he got... too many second chances, personally.
But you're probably quoting before last year stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still new. The first season I watched start to finish was last year.
Yeah.
I've seen recaps of other seasons, and the way recaps work is if you're not fighting for the championship, you don't get screen time. They don't care about you.
You're not even in it.
I didn't know that half these names until last year. And they're like, oh yeah, XYZ was a previous champion. Oh yeah, XYZ was a previous champion these other years. I'm like, what? Since when? And this year or this year. Juan Mir being a Suzuki champion. I didn't know that until you told me.
Yeah.
I knew Quartararo because I liked Quartararo, and he was in one of the recaps until he wasn't.
Interesting. I think next year is going to be super, super interesting. And, there is a lot of unknown. Mark's going to be back. Mark's still going to be on the factory Ducati.
Is he making testing at Valencia? Do we know yet?
I don't know yet. Hoping. He should be. But
it's Mark Marquez. He could miss testing in Valencia, still bring home the 2026 championship.
Yeah, he easily could. He could hop on an Aprilia next year.
Ducati's going to be like, we literally gave him a tractor. We painted it red. I don't know how this happened. I'm not complaining, but I cannot tell you how this happened. We did not help with this. That was all him.
He was doing so well in the first half of the season. We tried to ruin his bike for the second half to help Bagnaia out. But we had to do the same thing to both bikes. And what we did... Mark didn't even notice and just destroyed Bagnaia. I don't know. I think obviously right now Mark and Lenovo Ducati are the people to beat.
Yeah.
And they will be next year. And I think that'll stay true through all of next year. 2027 will be real interesting.
Did you ever think a couple years ago you'd ever see Mark on a Ducati?
No. No, to be completely honest, back in 2022 or even 2023... when he was doing so bad on the Honda. I think 2023, when the rumors started, I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, okay. But in 2022, no.
And not just any Ducati, factory.
Yeah.
I remember all the buzz when he got the Gresini ride, It was him and his brother, like all the buzz of Marc Marquez on a Ducati. And like, I didn't get it at the time. To me, it was like, okay, he was a Honda, that was a Ducati. And then I was still new, but getting into it, I realized, oh, he had been with Honda for years. Yeah. He had won a lot of championships with Honda. He like effectively was the face of MotoGP Honda.
Yes.
So I saw like, whatever. Yeah.
And not just MotoGP necessarily, but like, he carried that brand. Yeah. He's been with that brand forever.
So when you see the Repsol Honda fairings, like that's what they're emulating. Like
that's what that is. What is insane is when you actually look at what Mark gave up to ride at Gresini. One, he had to pay Honda off.
Oh yeah, I did.
He had a contract with them, and then two, he had to drop his personal sponsors, a lot of them. Oh. He by leaving Honda, he caused Repsol to drop Honda. And say, we're not doing it anymore.
That's why it's HRC Honda now, not Repsol Honda, yeah.
Yep, which is just absolutely insane. So yeah, no, I'd say back in 2021 and 2022 when he was still recovering and doing some things, and even for the first half of 2023, I fully expected at some point Honda was going to figure out something and Mark would start winning again.
They didn't.
No. No, and they, like, there's they're doing it now.
There's a quote. I'm a horribly dude out of context, but it was like him talking to somebody, pointing at, like quoting him, talking to his boss, pointing at his scar, saying like, you know, something alluding to like, I didn't do this to keep losing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's how that works. You did not, no one wants to stay with the losing team, especially if you know that you're him.
Yeah, well, and there was a big question in his mind of whether or not, you know, did he actually still have it? It's one thing to get the surgery and go out and ride and even being the best Honda rider, but you're putting the bike down every other freaking day or every other session that you're out there. Do you actually still have it? Is that something you can actually still contend with? Or do you just suck now? And I think that was the biggest question in his head was, can I do it again?
Yeah, because once you have been doing it a certain amount of time, you do get more experience, but you like will inherently get slower reflexes and reaction times, which is the same thing, and just a natural byproduct of getting older, and you compare yourself to like the younger generation, at some point your racecraft and experience will no longer carry you all the way.
They shouldn't. That's for dang sure.
Yeah. That and like the sport itself could just develop, and these people who are coming up have been doing that new style their entire, like whatever is developing their entire lives, mm-hmm. whereas you're adapting to it for like the last few years, or maybe haven't adapted to it.
That's what finally got Rossi was, yeah. Rossi went from, you know, bikes with no electronics and riding crossed up on purpose to, yeah, when you hit the straight, you got to hit this button that'll launch the back end of your bike down. And then when you get to the end, you're going to re-hit a button that'll launch it back up as you're braking.
I more so meant like the riding style thing. The button thing, you're not practicing that button thing from like 2 years old. Maybe, maybe not. But a lot of the people who are starting to do track stuff, they come up in like the feeder series, and then eventually make it to like Moto2, Moto3. Mm-hmm. They were dragging me from like what, 5 years old on the little pocket bike.
Oh yeah.
And then like as I got old and the bikes got bigger, they just kept dragging me. It wasn't like I'm so small my knee drags. It's like no, I'm not gonna be crossed. But I will lean the bike myself over and then the bike.
I agree with that, but I think also the contrary with the button thing is that it's not just the buttons that you're clicking. It's the fact that
you know you have electronic rider aids the entire time.
Well. It's riding with them is different, and like controlling a bike that has its own control unit, controlling it is different than just controlling a bike. And I cannot imagine being, you know, at the top of that level. And because the only one I've really feel kick in, I felt wheelie control kick in a little bit, and I felt ABS kick in. Yeah, and you know, when you come to the end of a straight and you grab your brakes expecting your bike to slow down, and instead it just goes and it's not really slowing down like you want, that just throws you off.
Yeah. I have not felt ABS on the track yet. That being said, I have not taken an ABS bike to the track yet. Now the current bike I have does have ABS, and I've seen you can pull a fuse to disable it, so I'll probably start doing that for the track. Mm-hmm. But my previous track bike was just the front will let you know if it doesn't want to do what you're doing. And hopefully you don't ask more than that. But I have heard the click, 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 click. That would terrify me.
Yeah, it's not super fun.
I remember coming, there was a turn, I was coming to a hairpin, and I accidentally downshifted into like first when I didn't mean to. And the bike just started telling me some stuff. And I was like, I am so sorry, but also please stay up because I need to tip this in. So I need the speed to go away.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's good. I was halfway through a turn at Thunder Hill one time. And
flick a left, flick a right?
No, it was right before that. It was the end of turn two. I was starting to come out, and I was just trying to lean over, give it a little more gas, lean over, give her a little more gas. And I made that final, like, lean and throttle add, and the rear tire was like, skirt. And I was like, ooh, maybe not.
You feel it start to step out?
Yeah, and it was actually pretty bad. What's scary about that is had I, like, corrected quickly, I could have snapped myself into a high side. Apparently, I did it the right way, but I just remember, like, giving it. I feel the rear tire start to slide a little bit and like a little more than I really want. And I was like, all right, let's just kind of close that back down.
Yeah, I'm used to people, they'll lean. If they want more, they'll stand it up, throttle, lean it back, stand it up, throttle, yeah. Lean it back. I got a couple of videos of our friend with the R1 doing that to get around some traffic. And I watched that back tire just shimmy around.
Yeah, it's like, see, he didn't care what his back tire did. That man was different.
I wanted him to come for this trip.
Would be good.
I wanted him to finally meet Josh.
Yep. I think that's going to finish us up for today.
Yeah.
That was Malaysia. We got two more rounds of MotoGP, and then that'll be just about it. And like I said, you might see some random episodes pop up from here to there, now and again, with random guests as we meet new people and spread the news about the show and whatnot, but the show will not go on. But the YouTube channel will stick around. So make sure you click the subscribe button down below. We appreciate you guys being here watching and or listening. We will see you for the next episode.
Bye.
Have you ever drug your knee on the ground at 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
You gotta get something to eat, my dude.
I don't know what's going on.
You're just gonna, like, pass gas, and it's gonna be the most rank thing ever.
Nope.
Or you're hungry. Maybe one or two.